Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to meet with me today on my radio program. Today is Thursday, September 9th, 2021. For the last several weeks, I've been taking us through a rich and engaging and confronting study of the relevance of the Ten Commandments. And for the first 4 weeks, we have looked at those commands that relate directly to our relationship with God. And last week, we looked at the controversial topic of the Sabbath, its observance, and the right day, and how the Bible flushes all of that information out. Starting today with the last five, we are now transitioning from our relationship with God to our relationship with one another. It could be summed up in this way. When Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." So this is where the transition line begins. We are now talking about that part of God's law and how we love each other. Today's topic is such an important topic. In our culture, there is such a breakdown, such a disdain for authority. We live in a time where people want to live autonomously, without any restraint, without any authority whatsoever. And, of course, this directly comes in conflict with the way God has set up the family. Especially today, when you think of the family, you think of the common nuclear elements of the father and the mother. Well, that's being challenged. It's no longer mommy and daddy. It's daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy. We have same-sex marriages. A breakdown of the father and mother authority umbrella that God has placed in the family. So there's a direct assault on that authority, on that standard for God's word. We are going to look at commandment number five today, a very powerful, important, relevant command. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where we find the 10 words or the 10 commands listed. Commandment number five, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Notice it's a command conditional with a promise. If you do this, this will be the result. Your days will be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's a reward for your faithfulness. So I want to flush out what it means to honor your father and mother. Obviously, the first thing that comes to the minds of many people is, look, you're expecting me, or God is expecting me, to honor my father and mother. Don't you know how abusive they are? I live in a broken family where there's constant fighting and friction, and how, God, would you expect me to do that? Well, we're going to go through that very carefully today. What does it mean? How does it look like to honor my father and mother? Well, the first thing we learn, it is being respectful in word and action. It's having an inward attitude of esteem for their position. The Greek word for honor means, quote, to revere, prize, value. Honor is giving respect not only for their merit, for what they do, but also for their rank. Now, you can understand the meaning of this, revering their rank. Why? Because many Americans today, I'm sure one of them is me, disagree with the president and his decisions, the current one. But they should still respect his position as leader of the country. In the same way, children of all ages should honor their parents regardless of whether or not their parents deserve honor. So it's revering the rank, necessarily not the merit, but the position. God exhorts us in several places to honor our father and mother, and it's here in the Ten Commandments. We also learn in places like Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, well, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Honoring parents is the only command in Scripture that promises long life as a reward. We find in Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 18 through 19, those who honor their parents are blessed. But in contrast, Romans chapter 1, verse 30, 2 Timothy 3, 2, those with a depraved mind and those who exhibit ungodliness in the last days, these are the ones that are characterized by, number one, disobedience to their parents. We're living in that time when disobedience is a norm. Respect is out. Honor is out. In most cases, it's rebellion, especially in our society. Looking at the whole of Scripture, Solomon, arguably the wisest man, urged children to respect their parents. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Although we may no longer be directly under our parental authority, we can never outgrow God's command to honor our parents. Even Jesus, God the Son, submitted himself to both his earthly parents. We find that in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. He submitted himself to his heavenly Father. Following Christ's example, in those instances, we should treat our parents the way we would reverentially approach our relationship with our heavenly Father. Well, obviously, we are commanded to honor our parents. We see that, but how do we do that? Well, we honor them with both our actions and attitudes. Honor their unspoken as well as their spoken wishes. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. We look in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9. Jesus reminded the Pharisees of the command of God to honor their father and mother. Quote, they were obeying the letter of the law, but they had hated their own traditions that essentially overruled it. Or excuse me, they added their own traditions that essentially overruled it. While they honored their parents in word, their actions proved their real motive. Honor, you obviously can see from this passage, is more than just lip service. The word honor in this passage of Matthew 15 is a verb. as such demands a right action. We should seek to honor our parents in much the same way that we strive to bring glory to God in our thoughts, words, and actions. For a young child in that context, and certainly it should be today, obeying parents goes hand in hand with honoring them. What does that mean? Well, it includes listening, heeding, submitting to their authority. And of course, after children mature, the obedience that they learned as children will serve them well in honoring other authorities, such as government, police, and employers. And you can see the breakdown of the family, the disrespect for the authority of the police and government. When these children who were not reared in the proper environment grow up, you see them killing, destroying, looting. You see the breakdown in the family and the consequences. Now, we are required to honor our parents, but that doesn't include imitating ungodly ones. If a parent ever instructs a child to do something that clearly contradicts God's command, the child, of course, must obey God rather than his or her parents. That's an obvious rule. Honor begets honor. God will not honor those who will not obey his command to honor their parents. If we desire to please God and really be blessed, we should honor our parents. Of course, honoring is not easy. It's not always fun. We all can testify to that growing up when we went to the woodshed and we got disciplined. And certainly, it is not possible in our own strength. But honor is a certain path to our purpose in life, glorifying God. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, I know I can hear some of us saying, whoa, wait a minute. This fifth command says to honor our parents. But didn't Jesus say to hate our father and mother? I mean, what does that mean? That's a contradiction. Okay, I hear you. Let's look at the context again. The verse that you're referring to is Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Well, Randy, that sounds like a blatant contradiction. We're supposed to honor, but now hate. Well, what is the context here? We need to look at this carefully. You follow the statement about hating our father and mother. Look again carefully, chapter 14, the following statements, 28 to 30. Jesus is using a metaphor about a man who builds a house without first counting the cost. The man finds that he cannot follow through with what he set out to do. He leaves the house unfinished. He cannot pay what is required. So this illustration that follows the verse to command us not to love but to hate, Jesus' illustration here helps explain this difficult command about hating our father and mother. Namely, we must count the cost of being a disciple. There is a cost, and that's the point of this passage. Let me explain. In order to be a disciple, we must be willing to give up everything for Jesus. Following Jesus requires commitment, faithfulness, even if our parents choose not to follow the Lord. You know, we come from a family that you become a Christian and your parents are just absolutely irreverent and they're angry. Think of a Muslim family. A Muslim finds their hope and freedom in Christ. That family, in some cases, is so offended. You have dishonored them in such a way that they're going to kill you. And in other instances, they disown you. Are you getting what Jesus means by this passage? If and when we are faced with the painful choice of loyalty to family versus loyalty to Jesus, Well, obviously, we must choose Jesus. Even if our own family members disown us or worse for being Christians, we must follow Christ. It's in this sense that we are, quote, hating our family. Jesus' command to hate father and mother is simply to prioritize our relationship with Jesus over our parents, our siblings, and family members. You understand this especially in a Middle Eastern context. A Muslim finds Christ. Their family disowns them. Their family rebels, rejects. You have to choose your loyalty then to that family or to Christ. And of course, getting back to context, it's right to love our family members. We want them to love and follow God. Remember, elsewhere, Jesus confirmed the fifth commandment, that we honor our fathers and mothers. We find that in Mark chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. Paul sternly warned that anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, they've denied the faith. They're worse than an unbeliever. You understand the context here. Jesus' statement that we hate father and mother must be in relationship to the rest of Scripture. His point is not that we are to be heartless toward our families, but only that we must love him more than them, because family ties in this context and even the context today is demanding we make a choice, either or. And Jesus says, you have to choose me. We also must not forget that included in this condition that a follower must hate his father and mother is the condition that he likewise must even hate his own life. Jesus is not teaching an emotional hatred of one's parents any more than he is teaching self-hatred. The emphasis is on self-denial and absolute surrender. Because he says you must carry your own cross, be willing to do that every day. Other translations here in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, makes it a little more easier to understand. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. The Amplified Bible says that a follower of Christ must hate his family members in the sense of indifference or relative disregard for them in comparison with his attitude toward God. It is a hatred by comparison, not an absolute hatred. The word hate, again, let's look at it carefully. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the contrast between love and hatred is sometimes used to communicate preference. Example, Deuteronomy 21. In dealing with inheritances and polygamous marriages, the Mosaic law referred to two wives, one beloved and another hatred. This is a good literal translation. There was a loved wife and a hated wife. Other translations usually soften the hatred wife to the unloved. That's a different translation. The law was not indicating emotional hatred on the part of the husband, only preference. One wife was preferred over the other. Many Christians will never have to make the painful choice of turning their backs on their family in order to follow Christ. Thankfully, that was not me. But around the world, there are many other Christians who face shunning, disowning, or persecution from their families. These believers, if they are to be true to Christ, are forced to live in a way perceived as hateful toward their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, which means all believers are called to acknowledge the lordship of Christ and show him preference over all earthly ties. Those who must sacrifice earthly relationships, we have a promise. No one has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in this age to come, eternal life, Mark chapter 10, verses 29 to 30. So I hope I've been able to flesh out that there is no contradiction here. We are to truly honor our parents, to show that respect for their authority, that our life may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. I want to take just a couple minutes now and to play a beautiful song by Counting or Casting Crowns. It's a song about brokenness. For those that live in families where there's a lot of confusion, fighting, and hatred, God can work in those situations and bring us broken together. This is Casting Crowns.
Still be spoken and saved.
great song, Casting Crowns, a song of hope and healing for those families of dysfunctionalism where children grow up around fighting and discontent, sometimes physical and emotional abuse together. It's better sometimes to be broken together than broken apart, and see what that does to children and to the family unit. Today on the Cross in the Desert, we've had a very serious look at a very, very important command. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It's so sad to see the rebellion against authority today that we see. There's a promise here when we honor God, when we love and respect our parents, when we show them the kind of respect that they deserve. Do you understand how difficult it is to be a parent? I'm sure when I was growing up, I really didn't recognize how difficult it was to be a parent until I got older, and I began to see just how dedicated my parents were. They certainly weren't perfect. We had our moments of disagreement. We had fussing and fighting in the house, I think, like a lot of us have witnessed, but they loved me. They gave their lives for me in many ways. And as I look back, wow, I wish I would have realized that as a younger person. But I realize it now, and as I'm looking back today at my parents, thinking of them, who are both, you know, gone and on to be with the Lord, I recognize the gift of parenting. It isn't for everyone, but I have to say hats off to those parents who sacrifice most everything for their children's sake. They want their children to have a better life than they've had. And so God says, if you're going to serve me, if you're going to claim to love me and follow me, this is a command. This is a law that never change and never will change. Show that respect, that godly reverence for your parents, because I chose them for you. They're imperfect. I'm your heavenly father. They're your earthly parents. Show them that respect. That you claim to love me, then you need to love them. It's very simple. We have such a breakdown of this today. We have such a miserable example of good parenting today, and especially not showing love and respect to parents. That's very sad. And we can see it all over the land. Kids grow up without fathers. What do they do then? They need the family unit. It should never be dissolved. It should never be broken. I want to thank you so much for spending some time with me this morning on our study of the Ten Commandments. Have yourself a great weekend. God bless you. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.